For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Very good.
An angel appeared of the highest one, and Mary believed the word she received of God's only Son. The Virgin rejoiced, gave thanks to the Lord. In a shout of triumph, the angel was sent with tidings of peace and joy, love with baby boy.
They traveled for miles to reach Bethlehem. Yet when they arrived, no one could provide plus at the end for them. But God kept them safe from hurt, harm, and danger. In his firm embrace, away in a manger, waiting for Jesus' birth to glorify the earth. Then he came,
one child can change the world. Christmas morn, the King of all kings was born. He reigns forevermore. Let us worship and adore Christ the Lord. One child
of star, led shepherds and wise men through valleys and mountains. Angels surrounded them as they traveled far, as heaven and home rang out for the Savior. The sweet Prince of Peace lay majestically asleep, glorious and pure, and his mercy adores for always. One child can change the world. Christmas morn, the King of all kings was born. He reigns forevermore. Let us worship.
kids one more hand clap. I'm excited about the future of the church, and I'm excited that my little Ava will be up here one day singing with those. Right now, we're going to worship the Lord in our giving. If you will stand and ushers will come. If you're a visitor here, we don't expect you to support this church. We're just glad you're here for the celebration. And the church said, amen. Mighty God, we love you. We praise you. We pray that you will bless this offering, that it will do a mighty work in your kingdom. Bless all those that give. Bless all those that want to give and have not. We say these things in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's give him a little high praise tonight and magnify him. Bless his name. What a mighty God. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, what a great kids choir. What wonderful little kids. Praise God. And great, great day to be alive in the kingdom. Good to be in the house on a dark and stormy night. And open the book and once more touch the things of God. I love coming to church. We're practicing. We're setting the stage for something that we're going to be doing for eternity. Praising and magnifying God and living in the presence of God. It's just really, really a wonderful, wonderful thing. If you haven't noticed it, Brother Steve Dross is not able to be in the house with us tonight. He got hung up on the border, which is really bizarre, as porous as the border is. He got hung up because of his paperwork and couldn't get across. So he's going to get that rectified and probably be with us in February. We're excited to have the Dross family. We're going to read tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He needs to hire a consultant. I'm not going to mention anybody. Somebody that can get him across. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Here he's talking about, Paul's talking about the law, and about the day that Moses came down off Sinai and had been so saturated with the glory of God that he was literally radiating that glory. And it troubled them so badly that they asked him to put a veil on his face or a bag on his head. And they couldn't look steadfastly. And when he says that which was abolished, he's talking about the law. And he's comparing the law and this new glory that is experienced in the church age. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When their heart, or Israel, but I think specifically their heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God bless you. If you love His Word as you're seated tonight, give Him praise and thanks. And let's magnify His Word. Bless His name. Ah, we thank You, mighty God, for Your Word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank You for the privilege of handling Your Word. We thank You, mighty God. Ah, we bless Your name. Glory to God. Well, I hope everybody's ready for these holy days. And I hope you've got everything. It's a wonderful time to celebrate family and to spend time with one another and to rejoice over the birth of the Savior, even though there's nobody that can prove when He was born. This is as good a time as any. And so we celebrate the birth of Christ, which is an extremely powerful event in the course of the history of the earth. And it's a wonderful time to get together with friends and family and celebrate and to exchange gifts and to eat too much. And that's our plan. And everyone said amen. So in Paul's letter here to the church at Corinth, he talks to them about the day that Moses came down off the mountain and in his meeting with the people of God after that encounter with God, he's got this radiant light coming out of his face, and they are very unsettled by that, and so they request that he wear that veil. Now, he wore it when he was with them, but he didn't wear it when he went in before God. I just want to walk through that in Exodus chapter 34, beginning in verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. And when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not or knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the elders of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spoke unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. So as he came down the mount, he had this glorious, radiant shine. And all the people were troubled by it. And so when God would call him into the tabernacle and he would go in there, he would take the veil off. But then when he would go out unto the people, he would put the veil back on because they were afraid. They were afraid of the word of God. They were afraid of the glory of God. And they wanted a buffer. They didn't want what God had given in an undiluted way. And they didn't want it straight up. And they didn't want it in its full potency. They wanted something a little less, a little filtered, a little watered down. But just to begin tonight, is there anybody in this house who really wants everything that God has for you, and you want to hear it straight up, and you want to hear it in all of its full potency, and you want to know what is the counsel, the full counsel of God? Well, praise God. He wore a veil for the people because they were disturbed by the glory of God, but he didn't wear the veil in before God. Paul says they could not look steadfastly upon that which was to pass away. They didn't want to look steadfastly in the face of the word of God. Something in them recoiled from the word of God. Something in them was troubled by what God had to say. But I want you to hear and understand tonight that God has made himself perfectly available, absolutely vulnerable. He has condescended to men of low estate. He robed himself in flesh and gave himself a sacrifice for you. He humbled himself and walked on the earth as a man. He was punched. He was spit upon. He was nailed to a tree. My friend, you can't get any more transparent than that. For God so loved the world, hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. You can't get it. God's saying to you, I love you. God's saying to you, I'll go to any extreme to reach you. God said, I'll hang up my royal garments and I'll put on a robe of flesh and I'll come out of heaven and I'll walk on the earth because I love you. His motivation was love, and the driving force was you, for the glory that was set before him, the joy that was set before him, which was his people. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, God has made himself available and God has made himself transparent. And I want you to understand, it is an absolute irony that we're seeing here with Israel, and likewise we see in a contemporary setting that quite often people do not want to do honest and genuine and straightforward business with God, but rather they want a filter, rather they want a watered down version, rather they want God light. But I want you to understand, nothing but the whole truth is going to do you any good when the judgment comes. You've got to hear this tonight. There's not a thing in the world you're going to gain by having a little bit of God or having a little God in your life. But I want it all. I want everything God has. Speak your mind, God. Speak your heart, oh God. Tell my life. Speak into my heart. Tell me what you have. I want to serve God. Does anybody have that in your heart? Praise God. Verse 14 in that third chapter of 2 Corinthians. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the veil remains. It is, Paul says, untaken away. It's not removed. And when Christ comes, the veil is taken away. Their minds were blinded, he said, unto this day. Not coincidentally, in the chapter to come, in chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians, we get an understanding about how that blindness comes and how people walk in a place of delusion. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That is profound in its simplicity. It sounds so very simple, it doesn't need even to be spoken. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Blessed are you if you're able to see and hear and deal with and walk in the gospel today. To the world outside, you're like foolish children, and they don't understand. They don't understand you're being enamored with God. They don't understand you're coming into a house and clapping your hand for the God of heaven. They understand clapping for a politician. They understand clapping for a football hero. They understand assembling themselves in stadiums and waving banners and leaping and dancing and shouting about sporting events, but they don't understand coming to the house of God and saying, our God is a great God, and he's been good to me, and I want to praise him, and I want to lift him up, and I want to magnify his name. You don't understand that, and they don't want to deal with that, and it's disturbing to them. I just want you to know there's going to take some uprooting. It's going to require a little bit of transition if you're going to come from worldly culture to godly culture. It's going to require some transition. Their minds were blinded. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, in whom the God, little g, of this world, Satan is the god of this world. God gave the world to Adam, and Adam had authority and dominion and power over all the earth. But Adam abdicated his authority when Satan made his advent into the garden. And now, because Adam bowed, all that belonged to Adam becomes the possession of Satan. He's called the prince of the power of the air. And he is here, Paul says, the god, little g, of this world. And so he has rule and reign. Where does all the evil come from? It comes from that systemic incident in the garden. And it comes from man's interaction with Satan. And it comes from the fall and from the garden, in whom the god of this world has, everyone say, blinded the minds. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. One thing he doesn't want you to see, that Jesus Christ was God Almighty walking on the earth. I sat and talked with a man the other day for about an hour. And I'm working with him, and I want to touch him, and he's from an entirely different religious or theological mindset, and he believes in Jesus, but he doesn't believe that Jesus was God. He just believes that he was a prophet. But what God wants you to see and understand, and what the devil does not want you to see and understand, he doesn't care if you believe he's two, he doesn't care if you believe he's three, he doesn't care if you believe that he's a prophet, but he doesn't want you to know that God loved you so much that he himself came down out of the heavens to give himself a sacrifice for your sins. Anybody glad about that message tonight? Go ahead and worship God and give him some praise. Ah, hallelujah. Blinded the minds of them so that, or put a veil of delusion on their minds so that they wouldn't see that Christ is the image of God. God is a spirit. God is invisible. You can feel his presence in this house. I have a Bible study on Tuesday nights, and they're telling me more and more now they can feel the presence of God in there. We got in our little tight circle to pray Tuesday night, and they said, several of them said, I want the Holy Ghost. I can't wait to get the Holy Ghost. I want to speak in tongues. I said, it's coming. It's coming. We're going to talk about it. I could pray them through right then, but I'm bringing them somewhere. I want them to understand everything about what we're doing, and I want them to read it for themselves out of the Word of God. And when they're standing, I don't want them to stand on the testimony of a man, but I want them to stand on the testimony of the Word of God. I want them to look at this without a veil on their face. I want them to look at this without a veil on the Word. I want them to see it in all its unadulterated power. My God, I feel goodness in God in the house tonight. And so God wants you to know that he is manifest in the Christ. Colossians chapter 2, all of the fullness of the Godhead was in him bodily. Jesus told Philip in the 14th of John, he said, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. In one of your favorite Christmas scriptures, Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government is upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And everybody agrees with that. But when you get to the next line, it staggers Israel. It staggers all of their theology. It staggers the Trinitarian theology. It staggers the dual theology. It staggers everything but the intent of the scripture, which is the oneness of God. That baby was the mighty God, the everlasting Father. There is only one God. There is only one God. There is only one God. And that God stepped down out of heaven. This is the Christmas story. My God. Anybody glad for the knowledge, for the revelation? I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you've got that knowledge didn't come to you from a man. And that knowledge didn't come to you from a textbook. And that knowledge didn't come to you from a song. But that knowledge came to you via the Word of God. It came to you by the power of the Word of God. And it is revelatory. And the natural mind and the cynic and the skeptic have little regard for that, the idea of revelation. Ooh. Spooky things trouble them. So when you begin to deal with the spooky stuff, they want you to put a bag on your head. Come here, Brother Terrell. You said you wanted to be used of God. Two eye holes right there. What's wrong with this picture? So they want to hear the Word of God, but they don't want it all. They want to hear the Word of God. They want to hear a happy story. I heard somebody this week that said, yeah, and all that religious stuff really messes up Christmas. What's wrong with you? You need the veil lifted. You need to be able to see without a veil. But it's not really on your head. It's on your heart. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They want somebody to have a veil on their head when they tell them about the things of God. They don't want to hear it all. They don't want to see it all. They don't want to know it all. They just want a little bit. Now, you're getting, you know what? We love God, but you're just getting fanatical. We believe in Jesus, but you're just taking this too far. I've seen you at school, the way you live, the way you dress, all that stuff. And you're just taking this way beyond. You know, that's probably cultish. You know? And I'm, you know, all that cult is a small group. And Jesus is not taking a great big group. He's taking a small group because the great big group has the sack on their head. And they want to hear the Word of God with a sack on their head. Somebody speaking to them with a sack on their head. They want a filter involved in this communication. But God doesn't want that, and you're not going to benefit from that. And what you've got to do tonight is you've got to hear the Word of God in all of its power, in all of its radiant glory. And that's what you want, and that's what you need. Somebody say amen. Somebody shout yes. Revelation is a two-way street. Revelation is God willing and pouring it out. But revelation is a man or a woman saying, God, I want it all. I want everything you have for me. You're not going to see nor hear what God has for you in terms of his power, his restoration, his redemption, the promise of God, the actualization of your potential in the kingdom of God. None of those things are going to be revealed to you if you're standing and you're resistant and you're not open and you're not vulnerable to God. That's what an altar is about. That's what repentance is about. That's what a true and real dynamic prayer to God is about. It's about opening yourself up and shedding the rest of this. Satan can't dilute that. Satan can't blind you. Satan can't put a veil over your head or over your heart when you've got an openness to God. The only thing he can do is work with your being complicit. And the only thing God can do in the way of revelation is when you are complicit with him. Somebody say praise the Lord. Anybody here want it all? You want it full strength? You want it straight up? 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where do you find the glory of God? In the face of Jesus Christ. If you want to find God, you've got to come through Jesus. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the gate. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no alternative. There are no other ways. There are no other doors. You can be swallowed up and spend your life chasing ideologies and other theologies and other religions, but you're never going to find God until you find Jesus Christ. He is the image of God, and the glory of God is in his face. Somebody say praise the Lord. John chapter 3, after that much heralded 16th verse, for God so loved the world. Jesus begins to teach us about why there is that disconnect. And he says, here's the condemnation of the world. He says, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. He said, but this is the condemnation of the world, that light is come, and men love darkness more than they love light, because their deeds are evil. If you go out and really go out partying, you don't want to do it in the broad daylight. You go down to the Thunder Inn tonight, or to any lowbrow bar or any higher brow bar, and you're going to find they got the lighting tuned down, and they don't want you to, because everybody looks better in the dark. And they walk out of there. They wake up in the morning with folks they can't believe they walked away with that. Get a few drinks going and get the lights down, and everybody looks good. And everybody, but that's what sin will do to you. It'll make things look good that are not so good in the broad light. You need to open the shades and get all the lights on. You're going to make a decision about life or about relationships or about direction or about choices. You need all the lights on. You need all the revelation you can get. Well, praise God. Turn on the lights. Well, praise God. Now somebody's thinking bad thoughts about Tuesday night prayer. Those people at Tuesday night prayer pray in the dark. Go figure. Praise God. I'm just kidding. I teach Bible studies on Tuesday night. Y'all do your thing. Praise God. The kingdom of God is about the removal of veils. When Jesus dies on the cross, he tears the veil of his flesh, and all of the kingdom of God goes forth. And when he dies and that darkness settles in, darker than midnight, and it was at noonday and then till 3 p.m, and it was so dark, and then the earthquake came, and then the tombs were torn open. And in that cataclysm about the cross there, the veil in the temple, 40 feet tall and tremendously thick, impossible to tear, the veil was torn from top. to bottom. And it signaled a day where anybody now can come to God. But not posing and not pretending and not wearing some sort of a alternate personality, but genuinely and openly coming to God. Somebody say praise. That's what God wants. He wants you to come as you are. And it's so hard. It's so hard because some of you think if you saw me like I really am, you wouldn't like me. And you're so, especially teenagers that think the whole world's looking at them. All of that's so important. But you know, if I could give you any advice at all, it would just be yourself. Be who God, through his wisdom and his artistry and his wonderful creative power, he made you to be just like you are. And so in the strength of that, I don't care what anybody else says, and I don't care what the glamour magazines look like. Those people are freaks. And they're all synthetic. They've been sewed up and pumped up and stretched up. Their jaws are on the back of their head now. If anything ever broke loose, they would... There's got to be a lot of tension in that body. Goodness gracious. None of that's for real. You don't want to look like that. You don't want to be like that. You want to be just like God made you. And you want to come right into that torn veil, into the presence of God, right into his glory, because he loves you and he wants you just like you are. He doesn't want you coming. Oh, it's the greatest act of disrespect to not be genuine with people. It is the greatest act of disrespect. And you are so disrespectful to God when you walk into his presence and you're acting like you act around other people because you don't want them to see like you, who you really are. And you think God doesn't know already? My God, he knows you. He sees you. Santa Claus is not God. Santa doesn't see you when you're sleeping. He doesn't know when you're awake. He doesn't know if you've been bad or good because Santa's the devil. But God does know when you're awake, and God does know when you're asleep, and God does know when you're good, and he does. And you're a fool if you walk into God any other way than openly, honestly, completely vulnerable. Because he went to a lot of trouble to tear the veil and to let you in. Praise God. I want us to just give God some praise right now. Because he's opened the door. Because he's made a way. Because he's shown himself to us. Well, praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you're sitting by your husband or wife, you need to tell them, you got to love me just like I am. Well, he tore the veil of the temple. He tore the veil of his flesh. When we see that and we read that, it expresses to us the will of God. It expresses to us the nature of the flesh. The flesh has to be torn in order for all the kingdom's good to come forth. The relationship between the flesh and the spirit is all throughout the Word of God. But tonight you need to understand your flesh is the weak point. Your flesh is unreliable. Your natural mind and your carnal way is a barrier between you and God. And it's going to make you feel real uncomfortable. When you first lift your hands, when you first make yourself, you make your way to an altar. When you first learn how to worship God and magnify God. When you learn how to walk holy instead of worldly. When you begin to adapt the culture of the kingdom of God rather than the culture of the world. And you feel the resistance from the world around you. Your flesh is going to have some angst about that. But you really need to understand, I've got to tear that flesh so that I can have this pristine and word-intended experience with God. I've got to have this relationship with God as it is depicted in the Word of God. Well, praise God. And in verse 14 of that third chapter, Paul told the church at Corinth that the veil is done away with in Christ. In verse 15 and 16, he says, even to this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, it shall turn to the Lord. When it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. He said, even to this day, because of their resistance, even though Moses is not there and the literal veil is not there, there's a veil on their heart because they still want a buffer. They don't really want to hear the word of God as it was intended. And so the veil is still there. But nevertheless, verse 16, when it shall turn, when their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. You could be in a service like this tonight and you could say, I don't understand all that. I don't understand the way I don't understand their preaching. I don't understand their worship. I don't understand all of their ways, how they behave, their lifestyle. I don't understand any of that. I want to tell you this. You've got a veil over your heart. It's very hard to understand. Most of what we do comes by revelation, by the word of God. And you've got a veil over your heart. But the word of God says, when your heart turns to God, if you would just for an instant turn your heart to God and say, all right, all pretense aside, I want to live for you. I don't understand any of this. I don't understand these people, but I'm feeling something right now in my heart, and I want to be a part of what you have in store for me, God. I come right at that moment, the veil would begin to lift. You have no hope outside of this. There is no joy outside of this. There is no hope for you outside of what God has for you. Well, praise God. But when it shall turn, when your heart begins to turn to God, the veil begins to lift. Is there a witness in the house? And you can say, I didn't understand, but when I began to take those first few steps, I was looking at a letter, an old letter that you wrote, Davin, a long time ago, about your testimony and how when you were a hard-headed teenager and your mama brought you to this weird church, but when they would run by you, you would feel the wind as they were running, and it was like something was being communicated to your spirit, and you wanted to get up and you wanted to be a part and you wanted to receive whatever it was. And all of this is bypassing your logic and your reason and your cognitive processes, because there's something deeper than that. The carnal mind is a fallen mind. It's not able to see this. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. Some of this comes from a very deep level, calleth unto deep, and there has to be a revelatory experience. And God was knocking at your door, and the very thing that was offensive to the natural man began to touch you. Just the very wind as it blew by you made you want. I'll tell you what would have happened if you would have gotten up right then and you would have said, God, I don't understand it, but I want it. I don't understand it, but I need it. And you would have made the veil would have begun to lift right then, and God would have begun to open the door for you in that very moment. When it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Praise God. Praise God. Could we just lift our hands for just a moment? I just want us to entertain the presence of God all over the house. Everybody in the house, come on. I want you to just begin to tell God, God, I want you. God, I need you. Mighty God, I don't understand all about you, but I want to live for you. Would you just begin to tell him that right now? Hallelujah. 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 If you do that honestly, if you do that genuinely, the veil will begin to lift. You may not understand what you're feeling right now. You may not understand what God is trying to accomplish right now, but he'll lift the veil. He'll give you a revelation, give you an understanding and a knowledge about something beyond where you're standing now. God wants to fill you with his spirit. God wants to wash all your sins away. God wants to write your name in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 17. Now the Lord is that spirit. I don't know if you understand that or not, but the Lord that was manifest in the earth, somebody tell me his name. He is that spirit. If you want to run it theologically, Ephesians 4 said there is only one spirit. And there's one God. And the urgency and the power of that message of oneness throughout the Word of God is woven into this passage. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. That man, Jesus, that walked on the face of the earth was the tabernacle of God on the earth. And he is that Spirit. Now, he's here talking in a general way about the Holy Spirit, about the creative power of God, about the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the deep. And he says, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I'm always so interested as to how people seek liberty and seek freedom. I don't want to live for God. I'm not going to that church with all those rules and regulations and all of those ideas. I'm not going to that church. I want to be free. And I don't want to be bound up by all of that. I want to be free. And so then they get bound by alcohol. And then they get bound by pitiful financial decisions, and they find themselves a slave and a debtor. And then they get bound to drugs or cigarettes, or they get bound to some loser boy or insane woman. How's that liberty working out for you out there? How's that? Brother Travis, you're living for God, and you're living by the Word of God, and you're living the standards, and you're obedient to your wife, and you have children that you're responsible for, and you have all sorts of encumbrances in your life, but I'm going to take a guess that tonight you would say, I'm free. I'm going to take a guess and say, just judging by your worship and by your smile, that you feel you have great liberty in your life. Praise God. How is that possible with all of this? You've got to buy groceries for Travis Jr. You load 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. That's what you are. You got all these children. You got this wife. You got a house note. You got no. He came in without pretense. He came in openly and willingly and genuinely. And the veil was removed. And he got revelation knowledge about God. And now the Spirit of God is in his life and filled up his vessel. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. My God, I'm telling you tonight, what the world is looking for is in this house tonight. What the world is seeking after is in this house tonight. What Hollywood really wants is in this house tonight. I'm just telling you, what God has done is what the world is looking for. There's liberty in this house tonight. But I want to turn that scripture on its side for just a moment and tell you that the word Lord means sovereign. It has to do with authority and obedience. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, you may proceed playing some sort of musical accompaniment to assist me as I seek to touch the hearts of men for the kingdom of God. Don't let me down. Where were we? Where the Spirit of the Lord is. You know what they said about Ringo Starr? Said the other three guys were talented, but he was artlessly clubbing behind them. That had no relevance to anything. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that suggests authority and submission. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that suggests authority and obedience. there is liberty. Praise God. How many of you truly, absolutely and truly feel great freedom and liberty in your lifetime? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, let's stand together tonight. You know what I believe? I believe we can have revival in the city of Birmingham. I believe we can see God do something that He's never done in this city before, on a scale that He's never done it on before. That's what I believe. Do you believe that? Praise God. Praise God. I believe there's a revival in every part of this city. I believe there's a revival in every corner of this city. Praise God. But I don't believe it's going to come. Let me tell you something tonight. I can tell you something right now. This building, this property would not nearly be large enough to hold what would be here tonight if we would just trim the edges on all this doctrinal stuff and all of this holiness stuff. We could get a crowd together here if all we did was make them feel good and not expect any submission to the authority of the Word of God. Praise God. But I don't believe that's the way you build a God-breathed church. And we're not interested in a crowd. We're interested in men and women that say, yeah, give it to me. I want to hear exactly what thus saith the Word of God. I want to hear it without the bag, without the veil, without the filter. I want to know. Is there anybody in the house that believes that tonight? Is that your desire? Speak to me, God. Speak to me, God. God, give me a word. My God, is there anybody that wants a word from on high? Is there anybody that wants God to wake you up tonight and whisper in your heart? My God, is there anybody that wants God to tell you how to change and how to walk right? God answers people with those desires. Hallelujah. He'll show up and He'll reveal Himself to you. But He's not interested in doing business on a limited basis. Praise God. Praise God. Who's at the board there? Give me that last scripture there in that third chapter, verse 18, if you would. How many of you have lived for God 20 years or more? Hallelujah. That's impossible. How old are you? You're only 17. That can't be. Sister Lisa, have you seen yourself change through the years? Not the same person you were when you first got that Holy Ghost. Praise God. I was glad I was there. Praise God. He's brought us a long way. And revelation brings transformation. And so, everyone say we all. That's like you all, but in the first person plural. We all. I think Paul was from Georgia. Well, yeah, he said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father, who's above all, through all, and in you all. Read it for yourself. He says that. With open face. Say, with open face. What does that mean?
That means no filters, no pretense, no pretending, no posing. Just honest, genuine, open encounter with God. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. When we come like that, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. This is a journey. This is a process. And we're on our way. We're on our way individually. We're on our way in your families. And we're on our way in this collective body. And God is doing a work here that he loves. Somebody say praise the Lord. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. So it's not just about coming once and getting your name written and getting your card. But it's about, here I am again, Lord. Here I am again, Lord. Here I am again, oh God. I've come again to call on your name. I've come again, oh God, with my little ones in tow. I've come again, oh God, with all my history and all my brokenness and all. You know all about me, God. I can't hide from you. Here I am again, oh God. And I've come to call on you for greater mercy and for greater grace. And I've come to ask that you just raise me up, God, to the place where you see me. I hear you say, Gideon, the mighty man of valor. And I know Gideon didn't think that, and I know nobody else thought that, but you saw that. Tonight he sees us in ways that we can't even imagine. And he wants to accomplish that in your life. But you've got to once more break out, shake off, be open, be transparent, be totally vulnerable. Could we come down around the altar tonight? Hallelujah. You may sing. When you get here, please step up on the steps. There's folks behind you, and we're going to have a traffic jam. Okay, this is where you lift up your hands and you begin to talk openly and genuinely and transparently. God, you see me. God, you know me. God, I want to do business with you. God, I want you to have your way with me. I know you love me just like I am, God. I want you to lay your hand on me, God, and make out of me something you love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, yes. Come on, we're not afraid to call on his name. He's a good God. He's a worthy God. God wants to do something good in your life. God wants to pour out the kingdom in all of his goodness. Take somebody's hand or lay your hand on somebody. I want you to press in. Let that Holy Ghost pray through your vessel tonight.
Oh, let's give him some praise. Let's magnify him. What a good God. God, mighty God, I worship you. I praise you. I lift you, oh God. I magnify you, oh God. Glory to God. God is so very good to us. Praise God. Turn to somebody by you and tell them, I want everything God has for me. Praise God. One of the scariest scriptures in the whole of the Word of God is when God tells Israel, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. It's shocking. It's terrifying. Because what he just said was, I'd rather go hungry than do business with you, because you're not my friend. And I'm not willing to do business, even for hunger's sake. I'm not willing to do business if it's not open and genuine. I'm not willing to play games with you. Praise God. God's looking for a church full of folks that are wide open and completely genuine with God. Praise God. It's good for you, I'll tell you that. Love you, appreciate you. So good to be in the house of God with you on a Sunday night. I have a bag here. If you don't want to hear the Word of God completely, I'll loan it to you and you can wear it. Greet and bless somebody. There's prayer here Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. We'll have an apostolic service.